Hello, this is Senator Barack Obama, and today is Wednesday, November 15th, 2006. I haven't been able to do many podcasts of late. As most of you know, we had a big election, and I was traveling around the country campaigning on behalf of candidates. On Tuesday, the American people spoke, and we have a new democratically controlled House, as well as a democratically controlled Senate. Obviously, I'm excited about being in the majority. Let me talk to you a little bit about what I think happened during this election. What was interesting to me as I traveled all across the country was the sense of soberness, seriousness among voters. You really got a sense that people were looking past the negative ads and not interested in the spin and were really hungering for substance. How do we meet some of the core challenges that we face now and will face in the future? Obviously, Iraq was at the top of that list, and I think it's fair to say that the election represented a strong repudiation of the stay-the-course failed policies in Iraq that have been pursued by the administration. But there were some other issues that I think were uppermost on people's minds. I think people were asking, if we're spending more money on healthcare every year and more money than any nation on earth, how can it be that we still have 46 million uninsured? Why is it that more and more of the cost is being shifted to employees in the form of copayments, deductibles, and premiums for those who do have health insurance? How can we get a handle on these costs so that our businesses are competitive internationally? I think people are looking for common sense, pragmatic, non-ideological solutions to the healthcare crisis. Same goes for education. You know, when I was talking to people, whether it was in Missouri or Tennessee or Pennsylvania, people really recognize that globalization is going to create a new economic environment for our children. And that means they're going to have to be prepared for math and science, and they're going to have to go to college. So if that's the case, what are we doing to genuinely improve math and science instruction in the K through 12 levels? And what are we doing to make sure that college is affordable for all people? And obviously people were frustrated that precisely at a time where people need a college education, Congress in this last session actually made the cost of federally underwritten student loans more expensive. People talked a lot about energy. One of the things that was most interesting to me on the campaign trail, and encouraging in some ways, is the fact that despite gas prices going down before the election, people were still very interested and insistent on the need for a national energy policy. And I think that's true not only because of pocketbook concerns. I think people see the national security connections when we're sending $800 million a day to some of the most hostile nations on earth because we need their oil. And I think they're also becoming more attuned to the environmental concerns, the potential impact of fossil fuels on global warming. And so whenever I talked about biodiesel, alternative fuels, conservation, harnessing solar and wind power, people were extraordinarily responsive, and I think that bodes well for the future. So, what does all this mean in terms of what we can accomplish next year? Well, I think there are a couple of things that we can say safely. First of all, the thing that presents itself with most urgency is the situation in Iraq. And I think that not only are the Democrats unified around the notion that we have to have some sort of phased redeployment of troops out of Iraq to send a strong signal to the Iraqis that there are no military solutions to this problem, they've got to get a handle on their civil war through political means, but also that a phased redeployment of that sort will send a strong signal to regional powers, including Iran and Syria, that they've got to be serious about trying to stabilize the country. That's, I think, consensus on the Democratic side. The Republicans, I think, are divided. I think there are a lot of Republicans who recognize now what an enormous political cost they paid for pursuing the Bush policy in Iraq and are going to be open to new approaches. I think there are going to be some that are still stubbornly clinging to the stay-the-course mantra. My hope is that this Iraq study group that is chaired by former Secretary of State under the first President Bush, James Baker, can arrive at some common ground in terms of how we might approach the problem. And that report will probably come out in December and will help shape the debate moving forward a lot of this is going to depend on the president himself. If President Bush is stubborn, refuses to take signals from the election that the American people are looking for a different approach, then we could get bogged down and not make progress. If they are open and creative and thinking about these issues, then I think we could make progress there. On the domestic front, I think you're immediately going to see efforts by the Democratic House and Senate to increase the minimum wage, and I think those efforts will be successful. I think you will see efforts to implement all of the 9/11 Commission report recommendations, and I think that that will be successful. I think that there are going to be efforts on the part of Democrats in both chambers to do something about the rising cost of college tuition. And I think that we will be able to garner a majority, hopefully a bipartisan majority, around that agenda. And finally, I think Democrats are going to make a very strong effort to rewrite the Medicare prescription drug plan so that senior citizens through Medicare can negotiate for the lowest possible price with drug companies and thereby lower the cost of prescription drugs. Those are agenda items that I think cut across House and Senate. In terms of my personal legislation, a couple things I'm going to be focused on. Number one, I've been working with Senator Richard Lugar from Indiana, the ranking member on the Republican side on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, trying to implement a program that would help control various arms that could fall into the hands of terrorists and create significant hazards for us both here and abroad. I'm going to be working a lot on energy issues, and my hope is that some of the bills that I've already introduced that promote biofuels and flexible fuel vehicles and create incentives for automakers to create more fuel-efficient cars will be moving forward. I'm going to be working on expanding our Pell Grant programs, the grant programs that help students go to college without taking loans out and that have been declining in value for many years. We're going to be focused on trying to create summer learning programs for kids in both rural areas and inner cities. We're going to be focusing on chemical plant security and trying to make sure that we have the strongest possible chemical plant security bill in place. And on elections, coming back to the election theme, I've got a bill called the Deceptive Election Practices Bill that I introduced last year that prohibits deceptive practices involving the time, place, or manner of an election or the qualifications of voter eligibility so that we can actually punish in a serious way those who would intimidate or block or prevent people from voting. We didn't see as many of the problems this time as we had seen in 2000 and 2004, but we documented plenty of problems that need to be addressed, and this would be a bill to do that. So just to wrap up, you know, elections come and elections go. Some make little difference in the life of our country, and some change the course of history forever. And I am just so proud of those of you who are regular listeners who donated your time, your energy, your resources in this election cycle. One of my favorite sayings is by Justice Louis Brandeis, who once said that the most important office in a democracy is the office of citizen. And I think the citizens really paid attention and woke up and got involved and got engaged this time, which is why we are seeing such a profound shift in the direction that the country is going to be going. I have to emphasize, though, that we're now going to have to work even harder to turn last week's results into actual progress. And so I'm going to be asking you to help me do this in the days and months to come. As issues come up, I'm going to be hoping that some of you get activated and are willing to send letters and emails on behalf of some of the issues that we're working on. I think it's going to be exciting, and I can't wait to get to work. So, as always, thank you for listening. It was great talking to you again. I missed you guys, and we'll be back up in a few weeks. Bye-bye.